The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 224. I hope you're doing well out there as you're listening to this wonderful edition. And my guest that's joining me is a wrestling personality that has been around the state of Ohio in many different promotions, doing many different things, from being a ring announcer to being a play-by-play commentator to even now being commissioner. And of course, I'm talking about Mr. Jimmy McDowell. So Jimmy and I are going to talk about his career, but I need to let you know that we're also going to talk about something that, well, quite frankly, isn't happening now. Last weekend, when Jimmy and I sat down to chat, we were very excited to hype up the Anarchy at the Arnold event that New Ohio Wrestling was putting on this upcoming weekend. However, unfortunately, due to the fear of coronavirus, the Arnold has been really stripped down. In fact, I don't want to get into it, but there was some controversy as to whether they were going to just do a few events and have spectators or do some events and not have spectators. It was a big hullabaloo, just to put it bluntly. So the Kids and Teens Expo was canceled, so NOW is not going to be presenting any type of professional wrestling action this upcoming weekend, but I felt like I was just going to leave that part of our conversation intact. I felt like if I tried to go in and kind of edit it out, it would kind of not sound great. So just bear with me when you listen to our conversation. We're going to be talking about this, and I'm just going to give my two cents worth real quick. It's really unfortunate that the Arnold got kind of pared down, if you will, to just a few events. And it's unfortunate that the fear of coronavirus is what caused that. I mean, it's out of anyone's control. But I really think, like, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You know, I think that there's been a lot of people on the local news that have been very upset at the fact that they've come all this way from wherever. And for those of you that are listening outside the Columbus, Ohio area, let me just give you a few facts and figures. The Arnold Sports and Fitness Expo is one of the biggest events that Columbus hosts every single spring. It brings like 250,000 people from 80 different countries. It injects over $50 million into the local economy. So for this to happen, it's quite frankly never happened before in its 30 some odd year history. But for this to happen, it's kind of a big deal. But I think that, you know, you're kind of screwed if you go ahead and host it and people get sick, then you're the bad guy because you should have canceled the event. But yet if you cancel it, people are upset because, again, you know, they made all their plans and they came all the way here. You know, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how other events, because I'm thinking right off the top of my head, you got two other big international events happening soon. You got WrestleMania in Tampa, Florida, just about 4 weeks away. And then you got the Olympics later this summer. What's going to happen if this coronavirus continues to run rampant all around the globe? I don't know. It's going to be, I don't want to say interesting, but it's going to be a really unique way in which we have to kind of change our behavior, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. But hey, with that being said, I would like to let you know that since you might be somebody that's listening to this and go, I'm not going to the Arnold this weekend, let me tell you what you can do. What you can do is you can stop by World's Greatest Comics, because as you know, number one, They are a great sponsor of the PVD cast. And number two, they're having our 9th anniversary sale this Saturday, March 7th. That's right. They're going to have special hours, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. They have tons of bargains, and I can't read them all. If I did, this intro would be 17 hours long. But they got dollar bargain comics section. They have graphic novels 25% off, action figures, statues, and busts 10 to 50% off, comic book supplies 25% off, and they have a ton more. So you need to stop on by the store, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. That is their new location. Stop on by Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you need more information, you want more details as to what's on sale, hit up their Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/@WG Comics. Or heck, you know what? If you want to call and ask, if they have a specific thing, phone number is 614-891-3000. Do me a favor, if you got nothing going on, you want to get your hands on some great comics and or comic book supplies or whatnot, stop on over to the 9th anniversary sale this Saturday, March 7th, at World's Greatest Comics. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Jimmy McDowell. All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining me this evening on the line, Mr. Jimmy McDowell. Jimmy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I cannot complain at all. Many people know you because you wear many hats, but many people know you as being a ring announcer, an interviewer, and a commissioner now, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, from various different wrestling companies around Central Ohio, Northeast Ohio, Northwest Ohio, and whatnot. So I'm going to ask you the question I ask everybody that's in this business. How did you get started in this wacky business?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I'm a kid of the late 80s, early 90s, which some people call the golden era of wrestling, especially with WWF at the time. I grew up watching, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Ted DiBiase, Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, the list goes on and on. NWA, WCW side, they had Flair and Sting, of course. I think Nikita Koloff or something like that. The Rock and Roll Express, but the funny part about that is my parents, they hate wrestling. How I got kind of introduced to it was through my mom's mom, my grandma. She used to love watching, NWA, then it became WCW Saturday Night on TBS. And we would go over about twice a month on Saturday nights to visit grandma and grandpa. And so that's where I first learned about it and fell in love with it. I was probably 5, 6, 7 years old watching it over at grandma's. And then, how I got into it, about 2015, I think, and you can relate to this, man, you've been in the business longer than me. After a while, time starts to blur and everything just kind of starts to blend together. And I think it was the start of 2015. I thought, because I majored in broadcasting in college. I had done a little bit of radio work in the past covering baseball and basketball, but I thought, well, what if I tried combining the two, my passion for broadcasting and my passion for wrestling? And so, at that point in time, around 2015, there were no companies in Columbus that were running regularly. So really the nearest ones were all an hour in each direction. There was a Rockstar out in Dayton, SCW out in Zanesville, and then Midwest Championship Wrestling, or SEW, as they were at the time, running up in Marion. I think I contacted all three. SEW was the first one in Marion. They were the first ones to reply or respond. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I got in. I hit them up and I said, hey, I have broadcasting abilities. Would love to try my hand in the wrestling business. Are you looking for any commentators or announcers? And as luck would have it, they had one commentator. They were looking for a second. And so as luck would have it, that's kind of how I got my foot in the door.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that your parents weren't fans of wrestling. You know, the same here. My mom absolutely hated it, that I would watch it. My dad was very indifferent. Like, he didn't, like, hate it, but he didn't really love it either. Like, he was just, oh, that's what my kid does. He watches that crap, you know. I'm lucky that I got my mom to watch a small little bit of one of the DVDs I have that I was on for OCW. So I feel like that was a victory, because she was never going to come to a show. So it was a victory for me just to get her to watch like 20 minutes of that DVD.
Actually, man, I know exactly what you mean, because a lot of the companies other than New Ohio Wrestling, but a lot of the other companies I work for are not really in the Columbus area. And my parents, now they kind of had me later in life. They're in their lower 70s now. And so they don't get out as much. So trying to get them to come watch me, to actually come see me at a live show, I've been trying, or I had been trying for 4 years. Finally, at Anarchy at the Arnold 2 last year, that NOW did, they finally, I was finally able to come and have them sit down and watch me for an hour. And I was on like, it's funny, even though I'm in my 30s now, I was on like cloud nine. I was like, yes, mom and dad are here to see me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, I know exactly what you mean. So you, I think you maybe kind of touched on this, but who were some of your favorites, or who are some of your favorites to watch? Because obviously you're a fan. I think we all are. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this line of work. So who were some of your favorites growing up, or who are some of your favorites now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously back then, you know, Hogan, Savage, Warrior, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, can't forget about him. Over on the WCW side, again, this is late 80s, early 90s, Brian Pillman, Tom Zink, Z-Man, if you remember him. Of course, Sting, can't forget about Sting. So they were some of my favorites. Dusty Rhodes, especially looking back, I mean, this was a terrible gimmick, but when you're 7 years old, what do you know about gimmicks? But when Dusty went to WWF with the black and the polka dots and stuff like that, I loved that. Looking back, but when I was a kid, I used to love that. These days, actually, I don't watch a lot of WWE anymore, to be honest with you. I keep tabs on it. I don't watch it as much anymore, especially Raw. In fact, that's the program I probably watch the least. Out of a 3-hour Raw, you may maybe get 6 5-minute matches if you're lucky. These days, I actually watch more AEW, ROH, stuff like that, and indie wrestling on YouTube. I actually watch that more these days than the WWE product, just to be honest. But that being said, Sammy Guevara is a phenomenal athlete. In ROH, one guy I have mad respect for, because he is just so good on the mic and in front of the camera, is Jay Lethal. And why that guy has not been picked up by WWE yet is beyond me, because they should grab him.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, you're saying some of the sentiments that many wrestling fans feel. I think that, you know, when it comes to Raw, it's the weakest of the shows. I would much rather watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do more in NXT as well. I think they do more in a 2-hour block of time than Raw does in 3. And I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, Adam Cole over on the NXT side, Adam Cole, who I've met in person, a super nice guy. And then, of course, Matt Riddle is a phenomenal athlete. Of course, they have Ohio's Johnny Gargano now. So, as I say, these days I rarely watch Raw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think that you're in the minority on that one. So you've been doing ring announcing. You've been an interviewer. You've done some TV work. You're playing a role as a commissioner. As I said, we'll talk about it here in a few minutes. Do you have a preference, or are you just happy just to do whatever the promoter asks?
You make me sound like such a slut. I do have a yes and yes is the answer to that question. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, master of none type guy. I am willing to do just about whatever. I've even worked as a referee in the past. I've even worked as a manager in the past. So basically there's not, and I'm not trying to brag, but there's not a lot in the wrestling business I haven't done other than wrestle. But that being said, as far as my favorite goes, yeah, doing commentary, doing play-by-play, I especially love. That's when I first broke in at Midwest Championship Wrestling. That's what I did there. I've done commentary for War Wrestling in Lima. I've worked as a ring announcer for New Ohio Wrestling. When I'm not doing backstage interviews and promos, I've been a ring announcer for NOW. That's what I'll be doing at the Arnold. I've been a ring announcer for XWE down in Nelsonville. So I don't have a preference. I really am just happy to be in the business. I consider myself blessed to be in the business, as crazy as it is, as aggravating as it can be at times. But I really do love being in the business. But no, my preference is being on the broadcast table. And one of these days, I don't know who I'm going to have to bump off, but either you or Mason, one of these days, just for a little bit, I'm going to bump one of you guys off the NOW broadcast table and join in. That's my goal.
Okay. All right. Challenge accepted, I guess you could say. Recently, Midwest Championship Wrestling had a little poll, if you will, vote, so to speak, as to who the commissioner of the promotion should be. You won. The fans voted, and you won. Mm-hmm. So how is that to kind of transition from, you know, being an individual that was doing commentary, or you said you were you ring announcing in Midwest, or were you just doing commentary up there?
Mainly commentary. I had done ring announcing a couple of times if a ring announcer couldn't show and there was no backup or something. So I have done ring announcing up there. But yeah, primarily I was the play-by-play guy. I was the Jim Ross, you know, whatever you want to call it. And that was the primary role. And the transition, actually, what's interesting, man, is I quit doing commentary at Midwest at the end of 2018, or at least early 2018. And I slid over to managing. I managed a new up-and-coming kid named Ashton Day from out of the Cleveland area. I managed him in Midwest for the summer months before things kind of fizzled there, and I'll kind of leave that be. And so I hadn't been broadcasting there since at least the start of 2019, at least. But what was interesting about when the business partnership or the business relationship Ashton and I had, when that kind of went downhill, around that same time, the former commissioner, the now former commissioner of Midwest, Jonathan Hampton, decided to kind of pull out, at least for a while. He wanted to focus more on becoming a pilot, and he actually moved down to Florida to go to a flight school. And so, but that left the role of commissioner, the position of commissioner, void. I started running, and coincidentally, my old broadcast partner who did color commentary, Michael Rothschild, he was my opponent. And so we both started running, and but needless to say, the poll was based on popularity. It was not set up like the current U.S. political system. I pretty much won by a landslide on that. And so I rubbed that in a little bit on Michael. But I'll give Michael credit. He ran a clean, fair race. I'll give him credit. But yeah, no, it's been an interesting transition, especially when it comes to now talking on the mic. Anytime I've been on a mic, whether it was with a broadcast partner or whether I was doing interviews and promos, but there was always someone else there with me. Believe it or not, the two times now, I've now worked two Midwest shows where I've gone out to talk to the crowd, and going out, I've actually had nerves, which is I never had that in the past. And I think as I was actually talking with the owner of the company, and he and I are both still trying to dissect why I'm getting nervous, but I'm thinking it's because I'm just not used to having someone else there with me to kind of bounce stuff off of. So actually, since becoming commissioner, talking on the mic has been an interesting challenge. I did actually, at our most recent event a couple of weeks ago, I did get to suspend two people for actions unbecoming of a professional. One was a wrestler, Brian Carson. One was a manager, Timmy Townsend. I don't agree with cheating to win, but if you're going to cheat to win in your own match, okay, you know, water under the bridge. They started getting in matches that they had, that they weren't in, that they had no business in being in. So that's where I decided, hey, new sheriff is in town. And that's where I decided to draw the line. So currently, Brian and Timmy are on suspension.
So that makes you even more popular now. So your popularity is going up. Okay.
Yeah. It is, yeah. So on the plus side, yeah, the popularity is going up, which I don't necessarily mind.
Yeah, I got you. You know, that is something that you mentioned that, you know, even I too have experienced. You know, I did a couple of spots years ago with MEWL as a commissioner, and it is a totally different type of feel. And I think that some people just go, well, you're used to talking on a microphone, so it shouldn't be a deal. Well, no, but when you're trying to portray a character and you're trying to hit those key points, it is a little bit nerve-wracking. I totally get where you're coming from. Real quickly, since you've talked a little bit about some of the places that you've worked, you know, XWE, War, NOW, Midwest, do you notice a difference in the fans? I think that that's one thing that in my travels throughout the Indies, you can always kind of tell that there are certain crowds that are like this and certain crowds that are like that. Have you noticed that difference?
I think I know what you're talking about. And actually, though, this suits my interest because I kind of consider myself an old school fan. I like the classic, you know, heel and baby face matches. So I, you know, even though I know a fair amount of, about the business now, the fan in me is not a smart mark. Just give me something traditional. And actually for all four of those companies, even when I did SCW in Zanesville, they've all been kind of traditional old school type crowds. So I really blend in there as far as that goes. So actually, believe it or not, I mean, now there's difference from one promotion to another. There's difference in crowd sizes. But now as far as the type of fan, actually all of those promotions I've worked for pretty much have the same, similar type of fan. You know, give us a good guy, we'll cheer him. Give us a bad guy, we'll boo and jeer him. So I like that. I have not worked. I know from observation, from attending as a fan, AIW shows and even Premier Championship Wrestling shows, both of which are in Cleveland. I've gone as a spectator to them. And yeah, once you get up into those crowds, it's definitely a lot more smart marky, I'll say. And the matches are geared towards fans like that. The matches are a lot more spotty. You don't see as many scientific holds per se. But yeah, like I said, I have not worked a crowd like that yet.
Okay. All right. While doing some research, I saw that you posted on social media recently that you had a fan interaction while you were up in Midwest Championship Wrestling. Would you like to retell that real quick?
Yeah, I can. And sometimes I think I might come off as egotistical or big-headed, but that's never my intention, because this honestly was flattering to me. It was very humbling. At some shows, not every show, I'll be honest, but at some shows I go out during intermission, whether I'm ring announcing, commentary, commissioner, even when I've been a referee, I'll go out at intermission sometimes and mingle with fans, with spectators. And just a couple weeks ago at the Midwest fan or at the Midwest show, a couple fans came up to me at intermission, and Jimmy Shane was a guest that night as far as wrestling goes. No shame, Jimmy Shane was there. They came initially to see Jimmy, but they came up to me during intermission. And it was a married, at least I'm presuming a married couple. It was a man and woman. And the woman or the wife, she said to me, "You know, we've seen you at War. We've seen you at NOW. And now we're seeing you here for our first time." It was their first time there. And they said, "Yeah, so we've now seen you in three places. Is there any company you haven't worked for yet?" In which then I gave a cheap plug for XWE since I worked there too. That was really neat for me, because and you know this, John, we are not the stars of the show, nor should we be. We're kind of, if this were a movie production, we're kind of support cast. And so it's for the fact that, and, you know, because when I got in the business, I mean, is it, and again, I think you can relate, is it nice to be recognized? Yeah, it is nice, but that's not why I'm in it. I'm in it to help push the stars. I'm in it to help push the wrestlers and the talent. So for the fact that these fans were aware enough that they've seen me at all these other, at least two, at two other places, and then when they came to Midwest, a third, that was a really neat, experience for me.
Yeah, and you know what? I totally agree with you 100%, and not belittling anyone's position, but there's a huge support staff at any indie wrestling show.
Yep.
Whether you're talking about the referees, the ring announcer, the person taking the tickets, the guy running the sound or the girl running the sound, you know, there's a huge support system. And I think sometimes fans don't think that just coming over and saying, "Hey, great job tonight," you know, means a lot. Because I liked it a lot when people would come over and say, "Hey, great job tonight," or they comment, "Hey, that last match, man, so-and-so, I can't believe you cheated." That's great, because that's what, you know, I'm here for, is part of that interaction with the fans. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a really good story, and I appreciate you sharing that again. You know, because again, fan interaction is what this business is all about.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And it's, you know, I forget who said it once. I was talking with a veteran wrestler. Actually, I can see his face. Shoot, my mind is blank. But he's from Michigan. He's been in the business a long time. And after this is over, I'll actually probably remember who it was. And, But he said to me once, when you pop through that, now he's speaking more about the wrestlers, because when you pop through that curtain, whether you're getting cheered or booed, either one is good. The only bad thing is crickets. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. Yeah, the fan interaction, that's what it's all about. That's what all of us are here for, or at least should be here for. Someone is in it just for themselves, and they probably shouldn't be in the business. One cool story on that note, which has nothing to do with me. I was working last year. I was working at XWE show down in the Nelsonville area. There was a match between Trace Matthews and Jock Sampson. There's a longtime fan down there who's confined to a wheelchair. Jock down there, he's from Nelsonville originally. Jock is loved in Nelsonville. He's kind of like Jerry Lawler. He might get booed everywhere else. He might get booed everywhere else, but he's loved in Nelsonville. He went over. He and Trace are on the outside of the ring, and he went over to the guy in the wheelchair, and he says, "Hey, kind of stick your leg out," and he wheeled the guy with his leg and his foot sticking out. He wheeled him into Trace, and he let the fan kick Trace Matthews. And right there was just a classic example of great fan interaction.
I like the Jerry Lawler reference, by the way. That was very, 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 very well done, Jimmy. Very well done. So I have to ask, where did you meet Ric Flair? Since you have a picture of you and him on your social media, where did you meet him at?
Yeah, great question, man. Yeah, I used to do, because I used to be in the TV business, I used to work for ABC6 in Columbus, behind the scenes in production. It wasn't until I moved to West Virginia that I became an on-air news reporter. But yeah, I used to work for ABC6, but I was only getting about 30 to 35 hours a week there. It was actually a part-time job. It wasn't quite full-time. So to help make ends meet, I actually got a job with Experience Columbus, which is basically Columbus's official tourism organization. It's run by the Convention Center and Bureau and Visitors Bureau. And so, it was luck of the draw. The Arnold was coming into town. They asked me if I could run an information booth in a hotel lobby. I said, sure, not thinking anything, not expecting anything. As it turns out, this is about 5 years ago, yeah. But as it turns out, that was I forget if it was the Hampton or the Hilton. I don't remember which hotel, but it was like one of the big fancy schmancy hotels in downtown Columbus that apparently the WWE staff and roster stays at when they come to town. So here I was at my information booth, and this is pretty early. This is like around 8 a.m., just a little bit after. And I see, and my information booth was right in front of the main elevator. Coming towards me, like coming from outside towards me to go up the elevator, Ric Flair. And again, bear in mind, it's probably like 8:10, 8:15 in the morning. He had actually just finished working out and doing cardio on the treadmill. And he just turned 71, so even 5 years ago, he would have been, what, 66 if I'm doing that? And yeah, so here he was coming back from doing cardio at like 8 in the morning, and he finished at 8. So he probably started at 7 or something, or 7:30. But right away, I mean, even though I was on the clock for a company, I couldn't help but mark out. I mean, it's Ric freaking Flair, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, I introduced myself. I said, Mr. Flair, I forget if I called him Mr. Flair, Ric, I don't remember. But I was like, can I get a photo with you? And actually, to backtrack by about 5 seconds, before I asked for the photo, he said, an autograph will cost you about $500. And I said, thinking that I could get something for less, I said, oh, I was just hoping to get a selfie with you. And he's like, a hotel lobby selfie? Those will cost $1,000. And then I paused for a second thinking, do I have $1,000 and is this worth it? But then he was like, no, I'm just kidding. Let me go upstairs and freshen up. And when I come back down, I'll get the photo with you. And I was like, oh, that would be so awesome. That would be great. So he goes upstairs, and I think like 2 or 3 hours elapsed. And I started wondering, well, did he come out and I miss him? Is he not coming out? You know, what's going on? Finally, it's about 11 o'clock in that ballpark, but the elevator door opens up. Sure enough, there he is, dressed in his fine linen, styling and profiling. There was Ric Flair. And sure enough, for free, he did the photo quality went all that good. But yeah, he was nice enough to pose in that photo with me. Another interesting anecdote about that day. I got to meet Albert or A-Train. At the time, had just started doing commentary. And you being a commentator, you'll appreciate this. He goes, man, I always used to sit back and think commentary was so easy, but now I'm actually doing it. It's hard work. And I was like, yes, it is.
Yes.
And but no, I met Albert. I met Steven Regal. I met Finn Balor, all very nice guys. And now here's the kicker. I got to meet Bill DeMott, who at the time was running the training center. In fact, I think he was in charge of NXT, or at least he was in the mix there. I told him how I worked for, at least a couple companies in the local indie business. I want to be a commentator. I want to move up the ladder. He gave me his business card, which right now is still in a dresser drawer in my bedroom. He gave me his business card. He told me, after the Arnold is over, contact me. Give me a call. We'll see if we can set something up for you to come down and try out. I was so stoked. 3 hours later, Triple H shows up and fires Bill DeMott for unrelated circumstances. business card just had his business number, not his personal number. So I was like, well, so much for that one. So.
Yeah, that number's not going to work anymore, Jimmy.
No. Talk about a kick in the nads. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about it. We've mentioned it a few times here. NOW is back in action this weekend, March 7th and 8th. It is, of course, Anarchy at the Arnold. We're going to be at the Bricker Building at the Ohio State Fairgrounds, part of the Arnold's Kids and Teens Expo. Lots of stuff's going on. We got the big tournament going on. Got plenty of other great matches. Ken Anderson is joining us as a special guest. He's going to run a seminar for professional wrestlers. That's going to be Saturday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. We also have a fantasy camp that's going to be later in the afternoon on Sunday from 3 to 5. And we also have the ladies from GLOW joining us, Hollywood and Royal Hawaiian. And folks, you just got to come on out and see it. What are you most looking forward to at the Arnold?
Oh, good question. I was not expecting that one. The tournament is always a fun deal, especially when there is a title on the line, which obviously for whoever wins the tournament, there will be a championship belt on the line. Last year, I know we kind of did it round robin style, kind of point style, if that makes sense. I'm presuming mm-hmm. that I was going to run again this year. What I'm looking forward to is, because at some point in time in the ladder or in the bracket, at some point in time, we're going to have a Taylor versus Taylor match, and we're going to have an Ely versus Ely or Eli match. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how you and Mason can try and keep those names separated, how you can tell them apart.
I will confess right now, the Eli-Ely matchup has already taken place at the Ohio State Fair, and my gosh, was that the toughest match to call with those two names. And if there's a Taylor versus Taylor matchup, we got our work cut out for us over here on the commentation station, so to speak.
Yeah, but no, it's going to be a good show for sure. A lot of familiar faces from last year, but some new faces this year that have not been with, at least wasn't at Arnold last year. One returning name from NOW at the Ohio State Fair, who impresses so much he's coming back for the Arnold, is actually a guy from Tennessee by the name of Nick Stanley, who is a phenomenal athlete. Of course, you've got, you know, the hometown boy, Matt Taylor, one of the Taylors that we mentioned. You've got the phenomenal Celeste Taylor, who's going to be there. And then now, of course, though I don't always agree with his tactics, he's a great in-ring performer. Robbie Starr is, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Robbie on the card as well. And fans either love to hate him or hate to love him, but he knows how to get a reaction out of the fans. He's a veteran and he deserves it. So, yeah, no, I think, of course, Onyx, Superman Onyx, who is just a beast of an individual. And you know what's so amazing, and you've met him, John. Mm-hmm. What's so amazing about Onyx? I mean, he is massive. I mean, he could probably tear a guy limb from limb, but when you go up and talk to him, he's like probably one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. What I call a gentle giant, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. It's another phenomenal card that, that Donnie Hoover has put together, and I'm really looking forward to it.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing all the fans come out and enjoy themselves. I felt like in the past several Arnolds that we've done, that there has been such a great crowd reaction to having NOW there. As people sit and, you know, we know how this business works. You know, when you have a tournament and you're spending all day there at the Arnold, that you're probably not going to get somebody to stay there for 8 hours. But, you know, they stick around for their for a half hour, an hour. They have a great time. They enjoy themselves, and then they move on to whatever else they have on their agenda. And to me, it's really great to see the fans enjoy themselves and the kids, too.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And in fact, on that, on the note of the fans, last year at one point in time while I was ring announcing, I decided to take a moment and do just a quick poll, because obviously the Arnold Sports Fest or Expo or whatever it's called these days has a huge international reach, or as Donald Trump would say, huge. But no, I took a poll of where people from in the seats around ringside, where were they from? And many, I'd say, in fact, I'd say we had more out-of-staters, or at least as many out-of-staters there as Ohioans. And but there's even one guy, I forget if his wife was with him or not, but there's one guy who was all the way, I mean, he was here for the Arnold, but he actually stopped by for a half hour to watch an OW. He was from England. He had a British accent. He was from England. And that right there just shows you, A, what a international draw the Arnold is for Columbus, but then B, how popular professional wrestling is around the world. And then, yeah, so having NOW as part of the mix and NOW getting to be the ones to present pro wrestling to the world, at least when they come to Columbus, getting to present it to the world, that's really something kind of magical, I think.
Well, I'm going to take just a quick break real quick from our conversation, because I want to let the listeners know that also going on next weekend is another big event, and that is World's Greatest Comics Big Anniversary Sale. That's right. You know they're a great sponsor of the PBD cast. And I have to let you know, 9th Anniversary Sale is happening Saturday, March 7th. They got special hours. They're going to be open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Folks, there is a ton of deals. I'm just going to highlight a couple of them, but you need to check them out. Go over to their website, wgcomics.com, or check them out on Facebook at WG Comics. I mean, all graphic novels are going to be 25% off. They're going to have dollar bargain comics. They're going to have action figure statues and busts, 10 to 50% off. 25% off all your comic book supplies, boards, Mylar, and Mylite bags, 10% off. They got a ton of things, folks. You don't want to miss it. Again, it's the 9th anniversary sale for the great sponsor of the PBD cast, World's Greatest Comics. So make sure you stop on over to the store. It's located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And as I mentioned, they're even online, wgcomics.com, and on Facebook at WG Comics. So that little business out of the way, want to let folks know that there's plenty to do next weekend, Jimmy.
There is. Yeah, there's a lot going on. A quick question. Now, behind you have a Deadpool poster.
And I do.
As you were reading the advertisement there for thanking the sponsor, sponsors are important, but it gave me, between that and the Deadpool thing, it gave me a flashback. When I was a news reporter on when you're a news reporter in West Virginia, weekends are kind of dead. Usually once in a while there might be a breaking story, usually not much going on. And so I got sent to cover a Comic-Con, a local Comic-Con down in West Virginia. It was fun to see, but I actually... And now you may get ready to kick me off your show here in a moment. I have not seen the movie Deadpool. And I mean, I'm aware of it, obviously, but I haven't seen it. But I decided to interview a kid, or a teenager, I should say, in full Deadpool gear. But in my interview, you know, I asked him what his name was. And I was thinking he would give me his real name. And he gave me a name. He was completely, well, he had a mask on. I'm presuming straight-faced, as he said the name. So on the 6 o'clock news, when my report is running, and in the 10 or 15 seconds of the interview that I put in my report for the what we call in broadcasting for the super or the lower third, basically the name, I put the name he gave me, which is the name of the character of Deadpool. It wasn't his real name. So he got one over on me pretty good on that.
Oh, he told you his name was Wade Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't catch it.
Yeah. So okay. Between the poster and then the comic advertisement, it triggered that story in my head.
Hey, it's better than I remember in high school. A kid on the wrestling team told the newspaper reporter that his name was Philip McCrevis, and then it ran in the newspaper the next day. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me! You fell for that? The newspaper reporter fell for that.
That's rough. Yeah. At least mine was like a believable name.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That makes me feel better. Thank you for sharing. That lifts me up a little bit.
All right. So let's talk a couple more questions here real quick, because we're getting close to our time here. I know you're quite outspoken about indie wrestling, and that's awesome. And definitely I agree with your opinions that people should support their local indie wrestling promotions and whatnot. What makes a good indie promotion?
Ooh, wow. You stumped me. That's a good question. What makes a good indie promotion? You need pretty good trained wrestlers who know what they're doing in the ring. That should be a given, but it's not always. Mm-hmm. You need a good support staff. You know, for the companies with a larger budget who can afford commentators, definitely have them. You know, if you're running a tighter ship, you know, commentators in that situation become, you know, more of a luxury, and I'm sure you can relate to that. But yeah, I mean, you need a good ring announcer. And something actually Thomas Williams from War Wrestling has said, and I agree with him, when fans come to a show, especially if they're a new fan, if they're coming for the very first time, the very first thing they see and hear, it's not a wrestler, it's the ring announcer. And if the ring announcer sounds horrible, if he looks like a schlub right there, that sets a tone for the rest of your show. Thomas said that, and I agree with Tom completely on that. So you need a good ring announcer. You really need trained refs or refs that have a clue. I have seen so many indie matches on YouTube and other sites where it's like they grab some guy in overalls out of the audience, or like a 15-year-old kid with his skate shoes on, who, and they have no clue of what they're doing. They barely know how to count to three, and they should not be in the ring with a zebra shirt on. But yeah, so it starts with great wrestlers. I mean, that's where it starts. You have to have good refs. You have to have a good ring announcer, because they all play a role. But you have to have great storytelling. Pro wrestling, whether you're in WWF or whether you're in Podunk somewhere running a show in front of 30 fans, it doesn't matter where you are. Your show has to have good storytelling. Pro wrestling, in my opinion, is supposed to be theater of the mind. It's sort of sports. This is the way I look at it, but it's sort of sports and soap opera kind of combined, at least when done right. That's the way it's supposed to be. Each match is supposed to tell a story. If a match is not telling a story, then there's a disconnect somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's wise words. I agree wholeheartedly in regards to having a great support staff, having all those people in place. And it is a sad state of affairs that we do have to say sometimes, making sure your wrestlers are properly trained.
Yeah.
Still in 2020. It's sad that we have to say that, yeah. But it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Usually when I have a wrestling personality on, Jimmy, we play a little game called tag, feud, or job. But since neither you nor I are active competitors in the ring, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to call this mangiare a trois, if you will. In other words, if you had three people to pick from, wrestling personalities, whether they're dead or alive, to have over for dinner, who would you have?
Let's see. Bobby Heenan.
Okay.
Oh, gee. I'm trying to think.
Heenan's a solid pick. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's a solid pick.
I'm trying to think of people who would be colorful but also insightful. Yeah, I was not expecting this question either. That's a good question. Possibly Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
I'm torn. I'm torn for the third. I'm thinking, part of me is thinking Ric Flair, but another part of me is thinking James Cornette. So.
Okay. Toss up between those two. Okay. Yeah, those are solid.
Yeah. But yeah, so no, I mean, they're all legends. They're all smart in the business. And I'm sure they have, you know, more road stories than, you know, anyone could count. So yeah, those would probably be my top three or four.
Okay. There you go. So, Jimmy, let's talk real quick here as we start to wrap things up. You got any social media that you'd like to plug real quick?
Don't know if I have any of them memorized, but I do have them. Yeah, no, I'm on Facebook as James McDowell OH, I believe is my professional page, my media page. I try and keep my personal life and my professional life as separate as I can. Yep. There's is some crossover. But my professional page where I post stuff about my current wrestling adventures. When I do racing announcing, which I work as a racing announcer at National Trail Raceway, that stuff gets plugged on there. For people who want to go back and watch some of my past news reports when I was a news reporter, you'd have to dig deep in the archives, but that's there too. My Twitter handle is James McDowell and then the number 2, and pretty much the same. I'm a little more opinionated on Twitter, especially if I have a bad fast food experience. I will very quickly tweet that fast food restaurant and complain about it. I do. I do that not to be hypocritical. When I was in college, went to school in the day, worked in fast food in the evening. So I've been there. And so I can be understanding and tolerant to an extent. It depends on what the mistake is. I would rather have someone take an extra 15 to 30 seconds and make sure my food is right, as opposed to like getting out the window to me in 10 seconds, but having it slopped together and stuff made wrong. So James McDowell 2 on Twitter. And then I am on Insta as well, but not very often. Insta of social media, my Instagram is probably my third use in the pecking order.
Okay. Do you have any upcoming appearances besides NOW?
Yeah, great question. This upcoming weekend, NOW. Later this month, there is a Midwest Championship Wrestling show. It's on March 21st. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that or not, though. I might have a racing commitment. We'll have to see. Although the plus side of being commissioners, you don't necessarily have to be at every show. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So there is a Midwest show on March 21st. I will plug that. 50-50 on whether I'm going to be there. I have to look at my calendar more on that. And then April 2nd or 3rd, whatever the first Friday night is of April, there is going to be an XWE show in Nelsonville, and I will be down there ring announcing. So yeah, that's at least in short order, that'll be the upcoming calendar for Jimmy McDowell.
There you go. And April 3rd is a Friday, by the way.
So there we go.
You are right. Correct. Thanks. Well, let's just remind people that are listening here that NOW, New Ohio Wrestling, is going to be presenting Anarchy at the Arnold this weekend, March 7th and 8th. It's at the Bricker Building, which is, of course, located at the Ohio State Fairgrounds. It's part of the Kids and Teens Expo for the Arnold, which kids under 14 are free. So that's a heck of a bargain. Come on out and check out the tournament. Check out all the great matches. Hang out with Jimmy, hang out with myself and all the great characters that call New Ohio Wrestling home.
That's right. It's going to be fun, and I look forward to working with you.
Yeah, man, most definitely. Well, Jimmy, thanks for taking some time out of your busy day, man, to sit down and chat with me.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
You're quite welcome, man. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Jimmy McDowell talking about his career in wrestling, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can let me know if you did or if you didn't, and you could do that through a couple different avenues. First, you could shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. And heck, I'm even on Instagram now. Just look for @PVDcast. And maybe you liked this episode so much you want to tell some folks about it, and you want to tell them where they can find this great podcast. Well, let me tell you that probably the easiest place to go is PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of the major podcast platforms, including iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, Pod Paradise, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio app, Radio.com app, Spotify. How can I forget Spotify? They're one of the big ones. Basically, anywhere you find podcasts, you're sure to find the PVDcast. Just search for it. Sometimes you may have to put my name after it in the search, PVDcast John Orlando, and you are sure to find it. And when you do listen to an episode, please don't forget to rate and review. That helps me out tremendously in the algorithm. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode of this great podcast. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you all for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. And stay righteous and stay independent.